Blog Talk Radio.
Strategies of Success, we are so excited that you decided to join us. You know, the beautiful part of doing this intro portion of it generally begins, 10, 20 seconds prior to coming on and going live. And it's exciting to do that because it puts me into a place that's a little bit uncomfortable, perhaps, but also it brings me into that place of time, which is right now, that living in the moment. And how do you find that balance between being uncomfortable and living in the moment? Well, the way I see it, I'm sure our guest is going to agree with this one too, is by being comfortable going into a new location. And that new location could be certainly something physical, but also from a mindset too, by pushing yourself beyond what you're normally doing, beyond your comfort zone would be another way of phrasing that, and embracing the change and completely embracing the challenge of the moment and being prepared to learn from that moment. Yes, that failure word, but it's only a failure if you don't learn. But if you continue to learn from it and be comfortable with that aspect of it, then the possibilities are absolutely endless. So who is our guest today? Our guest today is someone that is continually growing, continually finding new ways in order to make herself more effective and to also make her clients more effective. Our guest today is Elizabeth McCourt. And Elizabeth, I want to thank you for joining us today and also on prior programs when we had a chance to talk to Don Mann, who was on his way, literally on his way, over to North Mount Everest. So thank you for that. And again, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, Brian, thank you so much for having me. And that conversation with Don was really fun. And now I'm anxiously looking for his updates as he approaches his conquest of doing Everest.
Now, his trip to climb Everest, Navy SEAL, he's done all kinds of things physically, all kinds of things mentally too. But he also is pushing himself to a whole nother level. And it was interesting listening to him talk that way, but so much of what he's doing today really fits in with exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And that's about that constant growth, about constantly going and understanding that there are some things that are in your control, and then there are other things that are not in your control, but learning from it and being in the moment and understanding that and dealing with those issues as you go through is so important. And probably one of the only ways that you're really going to achieve success is being comfortable with that entire process.
That's right. I always say you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, and whether that's in sport or business or otherwise, it's really it's a part of life. And if you can recognize that and embrace it, then you have the opportunity to really overcome your obstacles, whatever they may be.
And that's, of course, the question of the day. How do you become comfortable with being uncomfortable and understanding that you might fail and that it's okay to fail, and it's not just some silly little saying that people put out over there, but it's actually something that you do need to be comfortable with.
No, it's very true, and I know I do a lot of reading, and it's one of the things I like to talk about is that the very best leaders are comfortable with failing sometimes because they are innovative, they try new things, they take risks. Many of them are calculated risks, and sometimes they work out fabulously, and other times they don't, but there's an opportunity to learn from those situations where it doesn't work out perfectly, and an opportunity to be a better leader because of it.
Sometimes they do become spectacular stories of failure. Like, what were you really thinking? Coca-Cola had one of those spectacular failures, but not understanding who their target market is, who their clients were with that new Coke that they had, put out there at some point in time. But they learned from it, and, they went back to basics. And it is learning from these mistakes, but it's still a challenge. So if you're working in an office environment, and even if it's at a board meeting, right, and there's a question that's posed, and you now have the opportunity to raise your hand and come up with an idea. Well, if we're looking at process, it's okay to fail. That means it's okay to come up with a bad idea, because you're taking a chance and you might come up with a great idea. But that fear of failure might just slow that person down over there. So how the environment that you're in seems to be something that's really important to be supportive of being able to take that chance.
Absolutely. And I think that's where coaching and certainly companies that have a more progressive outlook on management do come in. Because as we all know, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well, there are certain environments where you might not want to raise your hand because of the risk that it would involve or the detriment that it might have to your position, whereby if you're in an office environment where they are encouraging open-mindedness and more free thinking and intelligent ideas to brainstorm with the group, then that's really where it starts from, you know, from the top down, having that leader that encourages intelligent dialogue and not just a leader that doesn't want that, wants his idea and his idea only. That's two different environments.
Right. And isn't it really important that, you know, as the coaching comes to it, accountability partner, where you're able to kind of vet out some ideas in advance, where it kind of helps you or, you know, helps people that you're working with, you know, gain the confidence to spit out that idea or to try something a little bit different to see if it works out, to become a little bit of a confidence builder if you have a coach or if you have the right accountability partner or being in that innovative group or the innovative company that really embraces that kind of thinking.
Yeah, and I think there are two different avenues here that you're talking about. I mean, a lot of the times in coaching, what I do encourage people to do is whatever it might be, is to, like you said, find an accountability partner to, you know, push yourself towards innovation, or even, you know, if we're talking athletics, push yourself to, you know, get out of bed in the morning and go to that workout and do that. And when you have someone that's there pushing you and waiting on you, you're more likely not to hit the snooze button. And certainly we can apply that in business too. I think that that doing that type of thing does encourage confidence building for sure.
Yeah, there is that thing. I remember I ran a marathon. I've done triathlons and quite a few things. So that does mean getting up before the sun does on many occasions. And sometimes the weather is just not exactly what we call ideal for training, but you have to do that. And the same thing would hold true is if you really want to push the business and get yourself out there more and more, you know, the early morning breakfast meetings are very important, but sometimes it's easier not to do. But if you have that goal in mind, then all of a sudden it becomes very easy to get up and to deal with whatever the weather is and to deal with driving however far, you know, to have those meetings. You see a lot of similarities between that elite athlete, you know, the ones that are willing to do and want to do whatever it takes in order to achieve success, the same thing holding true with the attitude of the folks that are running and want to run successful businesses?
I absolutely do. I've talked to a number of executive athletes, and this doesn't necessarily mean you have to be, you know, an elite level professional athlete. Some of the people I talked to have been, you know, very successful college-level athletes, and now they're, you know, 10, 20, 30 years into their careers. They say that training, that doing that when they were an athlete and training their minds to get up, push a little further, accept that they're not going to always win, absolutely translates to their business dealings. The most important avenue of it being that they are resilient in failure. So resilience is a huge part of this, that, you know, that it's okay to fail, but that really how quickly can you bounce back from that failure?
So it's not so much as how quickly can you achieve the goal, it's how quickly can you recover from these little setbacks that are there. Almost sounds like patience is a kind of a key element in the strategy of somebody's success, understanding that the time frame is not necessarily their time frame. It might be circumstances' time frame.
Isn't that always the case? Nothing ever happens in our own time frames. It usually happens, the hard work inevitably will pay off, but you know, sometimes it's quicker, but oftentimes it's much longer, depending what that is. I mean, if you work with a business owner, I work with a business owner that wants to achieve certain goals. There are, we say there's immediate goals, there's midterm goals, and there's long-term goals. And it's about working towards those and celebrating the successes along the way.
And enjoying that journey, enjoying the little things that come up and the smaller successes as it builds to something that becomes greater and greater. And your own story is really phenomenal when it comes to that, being, you know, where you started on the speaking side of things to now being able to give and have given the TEDx presentation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was just such an honor to have that opportunity. And I really do attribute it to one of the reasons how we connected, which is being involved in my local Toastmasters. And I think that had I not had that experience working with my Toastmasters group and having that support, I don't know if I would have gotten that TEDx and had that amazing opportunity to do that. So I have so much gratitude for taking those small steps and really being involved in such a wonderful organization.
Yeah, Toastmasters has been a phenomenal thing for me. I'm following your lead, though, on the TEDx presentation. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I will.
Oh.
I will.
Well, I am happy to help you in any way with that goal, because I can't tell you just a wonderful experience it was. And I was so fortunate to be with SUNY Stony Brook, because they had a tremendously good production team behind it. So the end result, in addition to the experience, but the end result has been just a wonderful calling card for me.
Yeah, Stony Brook is a great resource in the Long Island area. And these universities are, the TEDx presentations are something that are given throughout the country, and folks, that is certainly something to go and take a look at. But becoming a TEDx speaker, that did push you into a different place. But what I really find fascinating is your topic and what you had spoken about. And this is an 18-minute presentation on one idea, not multiple ideas. But the title of your presentation was Why You Should Spill Your Secret.
Exactly,
you're talking about confidence. if we talk about confidence building and a business owner and a networking event, all this kind of stuff, everyone puts their best foot forward. Now, you say, okay, well, this is what my secrets are. It seems counterintuitive, but maybe it's not.
Well, I guess there are two things. There's certainly a time and a place and a person to tell certain secrets to. I wouldn't say or recommend that you go out and air your dirty laundry to everyone. Certainly, trust is a very important element of who you do tell a secret to, but it can be quite cathartic to let go of something, even to a trusted friend, even in your journal. You may not want to do what I did and air a secret in a TEDx program, but for me, it was really part of the process. I had let go of that secret in an essay I wrote, and I had done a small Toastmasters presentation on it. And when I had the opportunity to give the TEDx, I just developed this further. I just expanded what I had already done into a talk that I thought would hopefully make an impact on the people that listened.
Yeah, but that is the credibility factor. You know, when you are able to share some of those secrets, granted, you don't want to completely, share everything, but, when you're able to share some of your secrets, some of your vulnerabilities, number one, that makes you coachable, which is really important, but it also helps you to identify what kind of a partner that you need to work with, should be working with, and beyond the accountability partner. I'm talking like a real true business partner, someone that would enhance what it is that you are trying to accomplish, because it's a skill set that you don't have. So spilling your secrets to yourself is absolute. Sharing with other people, but also, really makes for a stronger team.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And I just did a talk not too long ago on empathy and leadership. And it's really about having that authentic and personal connection with someone, whether it be a partner, with a client, with a friend, whatever it is, if you can have an empathetic connection to them and what they're talking about and share something, a part of yourself, you can develop that relationship into a more trusting relationship where you know, opportunities do come from that you can't just be a sterile in business. You can't just be sterile and say, hey, you need to buy this because you really need to connect with who you're selling something with and show them that you have an understanding of their needs and how you can help them with those needs.
Right. And many of the business people that you're working with, are they tend to be self-employed salespeople working for different companies where they're more independent or team related?
I think it really depends. I mean, my prior expertise is in financial services, and so I do work with people in that arena as well. So that could be an individual with their own business or someone who has a team as well. But any kind of business owner that's looking to push their boundaries of success.
And maybe is there much of a different mindset when it comes to that, when it comes to figuring out what resources are needed, whether it's a salesperson that's working alone or with a team, you know, whereas they are, I don't know, more open to different ideas because they're working as a team member? Or that's not really even the case either, because we all have different resources, whether we're quote-unquote really teamed up with somebody or not.
Right. I really think every situation seems to be a little bit unique, and particularly if you're talking about teams, then you really need to work on the dynamics of the team environment and then, of course, the strengths and weaknesses of the team members and how you can leverage them towards what you're trying to accomplish. I think that's very, very important to do evaluation of the team environment itself and then the team members individually and how they work as part of this, you know, this wheel of the team.
Right. So whether you are the sole entity inside of a partnership or is a partnership where the partnership is its entity, you know, it needs to be looked at in that respect. You know, where are we strong at?
Absolutely.
What are we prove, you know, where we could possibly improve upon, you know, or add to. And, you know, it's that open thought process that really becomes so, you know, important. And I keep coming back, you know, to like Don's climb, you know, Don man, you know, he's climbing Everest, but he's not climbing Everest alone. Yeah, he has to put his foot, one foot in front of the other. In that respect, his mindset may be alone, but it is part of a team. And trusting that team, trusting that whole group concept, it becomes really important. But, you know, coaching, accountability partner, teamwork, all of that, you know, seems to be there. And that, even an athlete that's an individual, Tiger Woods seems to be the one quoted, you know, because it's golf. You know, is golf a team sport? Well, you know what? It is, right? Because he's got his own coaches, a caddy. Nobody really does
right. Everything
completely alone.
That, you know, you make a really good point. I mean, from Everest is certainly life or death. If you don't, you know, individually, you could, if you're not mentally strong, you could actually affect the safety of your team members. So there's, you know, there's life and death, but absolutely you have individual considerations and then there are team situations because whatever it is, like you said, whether it's your coach or your employee or your boss, all these dynamics do fit in together.
Yeah, it is interesting, you know, on that, like in his case, because he's done a lot of things alone as a survivalist. You know, he's trained in a couple of different areas, but he just knew that, you know, that team and trusting the leadership of that team became so unbelievably important to the success of it and understanding the success of the climb might not be reaching the summit because there are all those things that are out of one's control or not, which brings us back to that same thing, you know, being comfortable with a less than desired outcome or that failure thing. So, like, how do we bring, and I see this with a lot of folks, they're just afraid to go out and do something, you know, to get off the couch kind of a thing. So what would you tell somebody that's really, like, kind of lacking in the confidence level, you know, what steps can they actually take in order to build up their confidence?
Well, I would say one thing is that what I do in coaching is really recognizing what's going on and what kind of stories are you telling yourself about your confidence. We all have, you know, we have that devil on our shoulder. You have your angel on your shoulder and devil on your shoulder. And what's the devil on your shoulder telling you that you can't, you're not good enough? I mean, oftentimes I would say that voice that almost, I would say it's rare when someone doesn't have some part of that voice in their head. But what you need to do is recognize that it's a story that you're just telling yourself that probably isn't true, and to recognize that so that you can push that voice aside and move forward without sabotaging yourself.
Yeah, we need to become much more realistic, you know, in the goals that, oh, yeah, I could do that and I can get it done, which is not really good because that's where that patience comes in, because the time frame is usually longer than what we anticipate. So we have that positive aspect. That's probably a little too unrealistic sometimes. But the negative, that negative self-talk, where all of a sudden, you know, if you're telling yourself you can't do it, congratulations, you're not going to do it. You won't do that. But taking chances is everything. And finding that, let's go back to Toastmasters, right? Toastmasters is a very safe environment for those that are afraid to stand up in front of a room and start to speak. And from there, it just kind of grows.
That's very true. And I would say, you know, Toastmasters, what you're taking when you're stepping up in front of your very own club is a calculated risk. And very much like Everest, believe it or not, it's not it's a risky endeavor, but they're making calculations to minimize that risk. So I think that's a really important thought here, is that you can take, you know, you're not jumping off and going to Everest with no experience. You've done months and months of planning and preparation and calculated risk assessment to get you to that place where you can try and move forward. And Toastmasters too, that first speech everyone does, or that 2-minute table topic that people do, you know, it's one of the wonderful things about it is I love to practice my speech in there because I can flop, and then I can take what was good about the speech and rework it to something better.
So now you have completely understood the risk inside of a Toastmasters club. It's really no risk. So it becomes that safe environment. And if the business had that same attitude where you're in that meeting and sharing ideas, and the business, whoever's leading that meeting, can put together an environment where it's okay to come up with a bad idea, or even to encourage it, because a lot of good ideas come from bad ideas or that initial thought. So it's that environment. And, yeah, no, Toastmasters has been a phenomenal experience, you know, for myself also. From that first couple of speeches to pushing the envelope and, you know, continue on, you know, where you put yourself into different places and understanding what the negative side of it, what is the risk? So you did the TEDx speech. That was the first time you gave a TEDx speech, but you understood why.
That's right.
You prepared. But you prepared. And those are videotapes, folks, so you got to go on the website. And it's an easy website, so Elizabeth McCord, and you can see the presentation. But you understood, you prepared, very important. Understanding what the risks are. I mean, what are the risks? The presentation that perhaps could be, you know, could have been improved on if it doesn't go well, but it didn't. You know, it went great. So the rewards outweigh any of the negative connotations that possibly could be out there. So that was great.
Oh, thank you. And you know what I felt? You know what the pep talk I gave myself before going on that stage that day? I thought to myself, if I can just impact one person, if one person can hear my message and take something away that's useful for them in their lives, then that would be success. And that did take some of the pressure off, because when I gave that speech, I was talking to that person.
Right. That's a great point. Because you were talking to the person, you weren't talking to an audience, you weren't talking to a camera, you were talking to an individual. And a lot of us are much more comfortable talking with, you know, that one-on-one or sharing an idea with one person and doing small steps, you know, that's a phenomenal message right in and of itself. He's watching the whole, you know, watching your presentation, which is a phenomenal presentation. It's great doing those things. And did that give you confidence to go and do other things that were a little bit different, you know, than building on those smaller successes?
My TEDx experience, you mean?
Yeah.
I think that is obviously a really nice segue, because to work as a speaker, you really need a professional video. And what better professional video to have than to have a TEDx video to go with my resume? So it was, professionally, it was a very good thing, and has led to, look, podcasts, we're talking. I've done a few other podcasts as well, and other connections with people that have been really, really wonderful connecting with me through the TEDx talk.
Right. So, you know, we had titled this speech about clarifying your talents and goals to attain elite performance. And it seems like every one of these steps that you take, and people, you know, when they take the smaller steps, they're learning more and more about themselves throughout that whole entire process, learning what they can do, what perhaps they need assistance with. And that understanding is truly what leads people to be able to achieve their own level of elite performance. And, you know, you've been living that, you know, through your career over here and connecting with, and I know it's more than one person, but I still love that idea. When you're given a presentation, you connect with one. It's beautiful. But by coaching, by being out there, by being a speaker, by giving that TEDx presentation and everything that you do, you are leading by example when it comes to the understanding who you are, where you want to go, and showing people that they too can do that if they know exactly who they are and what they're good at. So that's perfect.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that, Brian. I appreciate that.
You know, it's the case. It's great. I love having guests on, you know, like yourself over there that are living what they're talking about, not just talking about it. And there is absolutely a big difference when it comes to folks that are talking about different things. You know, you could see it, you could hear it, and let me tell you, it comes through in your message. It comes through in everything that you're doing, and it makes you so much more effective whenever you're out there, you know, speaking to different groups. And let me leave with that. You get the opportunity to speak to different people, be it individuals, group settings, and the rest. What are some of the companies that you present that and that you tell us about?
Oh, the companies. Well, I'm going to be speaking at a conference in D.C. And actually next month, so that's exciting. And I spoke with the Army recruiting a month ago, so that was also interesting. It's really I love speaking to women and inspiring other women, so that's part of my niche. And I often speak on leadership, on failure, resilience, and I don't always tell all of my secrets, but I think part of my speech is that I like to give something personal about myself, because I really love that connection with the audience and the people who I'm speaking with.
And for the person who's trying to figure out what their talents are, you know, where they really, you know, trying to figure out what their why is and where they should be going, what message would you like to leave us today and deliver to them?
Oh, I will say one little tip. Ask three of your very good friends what they think your strengths are if you don't know them yourself. And they will absolutely tell you what your strengths are. So it's really, the first thing that comes to your mind is usually the correct answer, but go out and trust a few people to tell you what they are, and then own them and see how you can utilize them to better your business and your relationships.
That's a great idea. Absolutely great idea. Elizabeth, again, thank you so much for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Brian. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Okay. So, folks, you do want to visit Elizabeth on her website, and that is McCourt, mcourtleadership.com. That's mcourtleadership.com. And, you know, take a look at that TEDx presentation. It's really important, and it's important for a whole number of reasons. The message that's there, the idea of trying something that's a little bit different from where you're at, and understanding, too, that when you do that, when you do have the confidence to try something a little bit different, you might get an outcome that's a lot different than what you think, because the accomplishment of that will give you the confidence to say yes. And that's to say yes at different opportunities that are going to be presented to you because you've done something. And there will be people that will listen to that, people that will understand your message, people that will see your talent. And if you don't see your own talent, great idea by Elizabeth over there, ask your friends to give you their opinion of you and understand that, listen to it, and be patient, be focused, and figure out what you need to do next to achieve your level of success. My name is Brian Cohen. Thank you again for joining us today on Strategies of Success. Understand where your talents are, and you can and will attain your own level of elite performance.